Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this evening's bulletin, as of today, primary care physiotherapy services have been moved out of St. Joseph's Community Hospital. The Garda Commissioner insists the force is working hard to identify those responsible for arson attacks on refugee accommodation around Ireland. Ahead of the upcoming elections, defective bloc campaigners are urging affected homeowners to have their say on what a true 100% redress scheme is. And a man in his 60s has been arrested on suspicion of murder after the discovery of a body of an elderly man in County Kerry. All these stories in full, plus more to come. Oisín Kelly will also have all the latest in sport coming up at around 5:15. First in news, as of today, primary care physiotherapy services have been moved out of St. Joseph's Community Hospital. It's to facilitate fire safety improvement works, but the HSE stresses that inpatient services will remain in place. The parish priest in Glenfinn says it seems the HSE is trying to scale down services at the hospital by stealth. Father Lorcan Sharkey, a member of Save Our St. Joseph's Community Hospital, says a meeting has been organised between the committee and the HSC and they need clarity on a number of issues.
Our Minister, Charlie McConnell-Oak, wishes to set up a meeting between our committee and members of the HSC who are in control of the services in our northwest area. We're waiting for confirmation then from that when that meeting is going to be, and when we have confirmation about that, we're going to get together as a committee again and decide what specific questions we have to ask the HSC, because we are very confused. At the moment, the hospital functions as a respite place where quite a number of people are staying there, some of them from my own parish, and I'm in Glenfinn. And in fact, only just 1 week ago, I visited a person from my parish there. It acts also as a step down from people who have been in Letterkenny Hospital. But gradually, the number of beds available in St. Joseph's Hospital are being reduced, and other services are taken away as well. For instance, the dentistry. And then the day hospital was taken away as well, which served the elderly people who would come in for a few hours, a couple of days a week. That was taken away. So bit by bit, the HSE are reducing St. Joseph's Hospital. And it seems to me that it's very unfair to the whole area of the Finn Valley that that has been done. And they're doing it stealthily, really.
The Garda Commissioner insists the force is working hard to identify those responsible for arson attacks on refugee accommodation. A number of buildings linked to or rumoured to be linked to asylum seekers have been burnt down in recent months. This includes an incident in Bonkrana when a building which was planned to house Ukrainian refugees was set alight. Commissioner Drew Harris says local investigations are underway and the DPP is considering files following a number of arrests. He says Gardaí have also launched two nationwide investigations.
One relating to the overall incidence of arson attacks, but also then hate-type sentiment, which is being expressed through social media. But beyond that then, we also have a second national investigation around threats to politicians. So there's a huge effort, both by local detectives and the special detective unit, in respect of this particular crime type.
Ahead of the upcoming elections, defective bloc campaigners are urging affected homeowners to have their say on what a true 100% redress scheme is. A meeting will be held on Monday, March 4th at 7 o'clock in Ingrainan Hotel Burt, where a document articulating the key principles of a true 100% redress scheme will be presented. The 100% Redress No Less, MICA Action and Redress Focus Groups believe the four key principles to be property, process, people and support and prevention. Veteran campaigner Michael Doherty is one of the authors of the draft document. He says a major issue is that there's no clear definition of 100% redress.
What we found difficult was that there was no proper definition of what 100% redress actually was. And that's why you've got Charlie McConnell saying we're already getting it. Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin saying the same thing. In the Ardèche, just before Christmas time, you had Sinn Féin put a motion together for 100% redress. But what does it actually mean? What we're looking for is our home put back like for like to current regulations at no cost to the homeowner. And that's the property part. The second P is the process. It's taken on end to end by the scheme. So you don't have pensioners trying to project manage one of the biggest challenges in their lives. The people and the support is that there's no one left behind. And then the last one is prevention. How do we basically put together a scenario that this crisis is never allowed to happen again to ensure that the homeowners should never have to go through this again? And secondly, that the state is never paying out billions again.
A man in his 60s has been arrested on suspicion of murder after discovery of the body of an elderly man in County Kerry. Patrick O'Mahony Sr., who was in his 80s, was found dead outside his home in Castlemaine yesterday morning. A post-mortem examination is expected to be carried out at University Hospital Kerry, while the man arrested is being questioned at a Garda station in the county. Independent TD Michael Healy-Ray was a close friend of Mr. O'Mahony. He says he is very popular in the local community.
We here in the local area were very shocked and saddened at the sudden death of Paddy O'Mahony, who was a very good friend to all of us, a great local historian, a very experienced man at his trade for many years, a very popular man, involved in all aspects of the community.
A 22-year-old man from Tyrone has been sentenced to 6 months in prison and banned from keeping animals for life. Dungannon Crown Court heard how Liam Swift from Imacrae Park in Clogher was charged on two counts of unnecessary suffering to animals. Both were in relation to dogs under his care. PSNI has welcomed the court's decision, saying the two dogs in this case were let down by their owner and he's been held accountable for his actions. Full details can be found online on our website highlandradio.com. A driver was clocked travelling almost 70 kilometres per hour over the speed limit this morning in County Donegal. Gardaí from Buncrana Roads Policing Unit were operating a speed check on the N13 when they detected a vehicle being driven at 167 kilometres per hour. They say the driver has been arrested and is charged to appear in court. Gardaí are appealing to drivers to never risk their own life and the lives of others by speeding and to slow down. Three arrests have been made in relation to an ongoing security alert in the Dungiven area. It follows searches of properties in the vicinities of Derry and Omagh. As a result, men aged 22, 35 and 55 have been arrested on terrorism-related offences. They remain in custody at this time. European leaders are gathering in Paris to reaffirm their support for Ukraine. Around 20 leaders, including Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, are attending the event. The meeting was called at short notice due to Russia's intensified attacks on Ukraine in recent weeks. CEO of the Henderson Risk Group, Duncan Bullivant, said the gathering comes at a time when there's a slowdown in US aid.
You know, the US is not the primary donor anymore. It's the EU plus the UK and others that tip the balance. Whilst the US is essential in leading the way in terms of equipment and ammunition supply, it is not the only player.
Farmers protesting in Brussels have sprayed liquid manure at police. They're demonstrating against certain regulations and cheap imports. EU agriculture ministers are meeting in the Belgian capital. Minister Terry McConnellogue insists farmers' views must be respected.
We are here today to take on board the feedback that farmers right across Europe have given in relation to the need to ensure that EU regulations are made more simple, to make sure as well that the work that they carry out on a day-to-day basis is respected. And I think, you know, that has not had the prominence and preeminence in the conversations we have about agriculture and food that it deserves. And in the short term now, what today is about is looking at steps that we can take to actually ensure that the policies that are in place are simplified, and indeed that farmers, you know, or that we recognise what farmers want to do most is to be in their fields and among their livestock, producing crops or producing meat or producing milk, and less time in front of the computer screen.
Efforts are being made to promote monastic sites in Inishowen with a view towards driving tourism to the area. Go Visit Inishowen says Christian sites in the peninsula are being undersold. Donal Kavanagh has more.
A presentation delivered by Go Visit Inishowen at today's meeting of the Inishowen Municipal District highlighted how other parts of the country are benefiting from monastic site tourism. Work has already been undertaken by local historians to enlist all monastic sites in the peninsula that are accessible. Go Visit Inishowen has proposed a collaboration to erect signposting to the sites, while a marketing strategy is also being developed. Inishowen is also set to feature in a TV production highlighting historical and Christian sites across Ireland, which will be broadcast across America.
The media minister apparently has the full backing of her cabinet colleagues ahead of her appearance at the Oireachtas Media Committee tomorrow. Catherine Martin will face questions from TDs and senators following the resignation of the chair of the RTE board, Sean Ní Reilly, last week. Minister Martin has been accused of effectively sacking Ms Ní Reilly on live television following an interview last Thursday night. The Public Expenditure Minister, Cathal Donoghue, says Minister Martin has his support as well as the support of the government.
Minister Martin has been fully in control of responding back to all of the issues that have developed within RTE. She's not the Director General of RTE. She hasn't been at the centre or causing any of these issues of public controversy. At each stage, she has responded back appropriately and effectively to deal with issues on behalf of government. She has spared no effort in dealing with issues that are of great public concern. She's always been transparent, she's always been clear, and the issue that she had to deal with last week regarding the relationship between the chair of the board of RTE and herself is of fundamental importance. So I absolutely support her in her work.
Ireland's newest citizens are celebrating what they're calling a very proud day. 1,200 people have been granted Irish citizenship at ceremonies in Dublin this afternoon, 18 of those living in Donegal. Applicants from 105 countries living around the world in 31 counties on the island of Ireland are being conferred as Irish citizens. Over 10% of those receiving their citizenship are working in the healthcare sector. And it brings the total to 175,000 people who've received Irish citizenship since 2011. The time is just gone 12 minutes past five. We're going to go to a short break and Oisin Kelly will be back with all the latest in sport. It's 5:15. Oisin Kelly has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We start with cross-channel football. Premier League club Everton has had its points deduction for breaking financial rules reduced from 10 points to 6. With more, here's Dan Wundell.
Everton challenged their punishment after being shocked and disappointed at the severity of the original decision. Following today's news, a club statement says they feel vindicated in pursuing their appeal. The decision means Everton move up to 15th in the Premier League table, 5 points clear of the relegation zone. A case is still to be heard on another possible sanction after Everton were charged with breaching rules for a second time last month.
West Ham are on a run of 8 games without a win ahead of tonight's Premier League meeting with Brentford. Lucas Paqueta could return for the first time since early January for the Hammers. And there's an 8 o'clock start there in the London Stadium. West Ham manager David Moyes expects his side will need to keep a close eye on Brentford star man Ivan Toney.
I've been really impressed by his performances. I've been impressed by his football intellect, the way he goes about his performances. I think it's been very good, and obviously you're right when you say he's missed a lot of football, so he's come back in very good condition.
Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola says Liverpool and Arsenal are almost impossible to stop in their current form. City are second in the Premier League, 1 point ahead of the Gunners and 1 point behind leaders Liverpool. Guardiola says there's no room to slip up as the title race continues.
So playing every game, that the feeling that if you lose, bye-bye. So it's so nice. Problem is September, October, that you see the expectations far away. In that moment, you don't have to think about any titles. Not even now, I would say. We'll define the end of March, beginning of April.
On to schools football and in the FEA Junior B Boys National Cup semi-final today. It was a brilliant one for Pubble Skull Gwydor. They defeated Glenamaddy Community School from Galway by 4-0 to now reach the All-Ireland Final. That game today was played at Ray McSherry Park in Sligo. Tegillagh Games, cutting the spending on inter-county team preparations is one of the primary objectives of new GA President Jarlath Burns. The Armagh native says the ballooning in panel size is unrealistic and unreasonable. Burns says he wants to introduce a financial ceiling to the preparation of inter-county teams. Well, on the pitch yesterday, Donegal and Armagh remained unbeaten and also continued to share top spot in Division 2 off the league after they drew at the Athletic Grounds. It's a game that Donegal could and probably should have won, but it's also one that they could have lost. Manager Jim McGuinness.
You know, that wee bit of luck, you know, one or two of them balls creeping inside the post, the goals, any of the goal scoring opportunities, we probably would be going down the road delighted. Yeah. So I suppose we can't be too disappointed if that is the context. You know, it's one opportunity here or there. And as I say, you know, if you were going down a point, beat after giving that ball away, you know, I think Patrick Morgan got man of the match and he was the man that gave the ball away. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that would have been a tough one to take. He was excellent, you know, but listen, it's a good start for us, Oisin, regardless. We've won three and we've drawn one against, you know, a very good side that have been there for the last number of years, and we just move on now.
Derry's 100% record is still intact in Division 1 after they beat Galway at Salt Hill yesterday. With three games to go, Derry lead the division by 4 points. Brendan Rodgers says they're in a good place ahead of Dublin's visit next week.
It's the start you want. A lot of difficult teams to try and overcome, especially in your first year in Division 1. I think Chrissy's the only one who's played Division 1 football in this entire team, maybe Kieran McFaul as well. So it's good to have that bit of momentum for all these guys to experience the winning habits. And it's definitely a good place to be. You don't want to be scrambling for points late in the league.
Well, after the weekend's games, Derry's Owen McAvoy and Conor Glass have been named in the GAA Team of the Week. Tyrone's Darren McCurry and Dara Canavan are also in the 15, while Canavan is one of three nominees for the Player of the Week, along with Dublin's Con O'Callaghan, who scored a hat-trick, of course, on Saturday against Kerry, and Ross Commons, Enda Smith. And there'll be more GAA talk tonight on the DL Debate with Brendan Devaney. He'll be talking Gaelic football and hurling. Among his guests will be Aaron Kiernan, Mickey Sticky Ward, Pádraig Hulfordy, and Donegal hurling boss Mickey McCann. That's the DL Debate live on Highland after the 7 o'clock news. Finally in rugby, Gary Ringrose is on track to return to action against England on Saturday week. That's according to the player himself, who has missed the first three Six Nations games with a shoulder injury. Ringrose revealed his rehab is going well and he hopes to be available for the final two games of the tournament. Ireland need to beat England to keep their hopes of back-to-back Grand Slam wins alive. And that's your sport for today. Donna Murray.
Thanks, Oisin. Groups and organisations in Donegal are being invited to apply to the Heritage Council's Community Heritage Grant Scheme. Last year, 13 Donegal-based projects were funded through the scheme. Michaela Clark has more.
Grants of between €500 and €25,000 are available for community groups and not-for-profit non-governmental organisations in Donegal under the Heritage Council's Community Heritage Grant Scheme. A broad range of project types are eligible for funding under the scheme, including conservation works, surveys, reports, plans and audits, accessibility projects, projects that help people engage more with their heritage, the purchase of specialised equipment, projects that address the heritage of minority groups, training in traditional skills and crafts, and citizen science projects on environmental conservation. The closing date for applications is Monday, March the 25th at 5 p.m.
The number of work permits issued last year fell by one-fifth compared to the year before. Almost 31,000 permits were issued in 2023, down from 40,000 in 2022. More than 8,000 permits issued last year were for the healthcare sector. Junior Enterprise Minister Neil Richmond says the country's ageing and growing population means more healthcare workers are needed.
These are good jobs, these are highly paid jobs, but unfortunately Ireland, just like the rest of the European Union, have a serious labour skills shortage. Now this is largely down to the fact that our economy has been growing so fast, that businesses have been growing so much more, but equally our society is growing. We simply need more nurses than we can produce, we need more construction workers than we can produce. Yes, we see huge amounts of people going into apprenticeships at the moment, but they take time to get out working on building sites around the country. People are living longer, therefore we need more people in the healthcare sector than our third level institutions can produce at the moment. And then in terms of the way the economy is developing, in terms of the tech sector, we simply need people who have those skills now rather than necessarily in the next 2 or 3 years when they will get there by their third level sector and increase apprenticeships. But I'd certainly think demography is a much bigger problem. We're building a much better state, quite frankly.
A West Tyrone MLA says the executive must deliver on the Struil Shared Education Campus in Oma as costs have increased due to a collapse of the Northern Irish Assembly. The project now stands at £374 million in cost. SDLP MLA Daniel McCrossan had welcomed the possibility that the contract for works could be awarded in July, with the works due to start later this year. He says children with additional needs in Omagh and the surrounding areas can't wait any longer for improved additional provisions to be put in place.
The executive must find the extra resources to ensure the delivery of the school education campus. Countless schools have been waiting many, many years in Omagh in anticipation of getting the new build facility that they were promised. And equally, generations of young people have went through the education system that were promised the hope of a new school at Struil in Omagh, and unfortunately have come out the other side of the education system in the same old buildings that so badly need investment.
Midlands North West MEP is campaigning for an EU mental health strategy after a study by UNICEF revealed suicide is among the leading causes of death in those aged 15 to 19 years old within the EU. It accounts for approximately one in six deaths within the demographic. MEP Maria Walsh says young people in Ireland aged 18 to 24 are eight times more likely than older people to have a mental health disorder. She added that there must be more engagement between policymakers and those with lived experience of the issues at hand.
One of the biggest things that I often find with developing and designing legislation that's impacting people is you read reports and then you forget to talk about those that have lived experience. And what I mean by that, those are people who are living through various issues that are impacting them. Particularly mental health, you need to have peer-to-peer understanding. You need to be able to look at someone, hear someone sharing their experiences in order to better impact and create better policy. We have so much more work to do on that.
Looking now to weather, dry and fine this evening with moderate northerly breezes backing westerly later, becoming cloudy and wet tonight. Light breezes will increase moderate to fresh southwesterly overnight with lows of 1 to 4 degrees. To conclude this evening's headlines, as of today, primary care physiotherapy services have been moved out of St Joseph's Community Hospital. Ahead of the upcoming elections, defective bloc campaigners are urging affected homeowners to have their say on what a true 100% redress scheme is. A man in his 60s has been arrested on suspicion of murder after the discovery of a body of an elderly man in Kerry, and a driver was clocked travelling almost 70 kilometres per hour over the speed limit in Donegal this morning. That's all for now from Highland Radio News, back again at 6 o'clock.
The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 26th of February. The death has taken place of George Thomas Clark, 10, Derg Fold, Castle Derg. House strictly private, please, at his own request. A service of thanksgiving for the life of George will take place at Caletor Presbyterian Church tomorrow afternoon at 2:30, followed by committal in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Caletor Presbyterian Church, care of Robert Armstrong and Son Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Robert O'Connor, Roxtown, Tubin, Burnfoot, reposing at his home. Removal on Wednesday morning at 10:15 to St Mary's Church, Fawn, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Jean Wiley, née Steele, formerly of Coshquin Road, Springburn Road, Derry, and Quigley's Point, Donegal. Her remains are reposing at her son's home at 3 Deanfield, Limavady Road. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 for service in Ballyarnet Presbyterian Church at 1 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Muff Parish Church Burial Ground, County Donegal. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Parkinson's UK Supporter Care Team. The death has taken place of Catherine K. Steele, Cooley, Moville. Remains reposing at her home. Funeral service on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock in Greenbank Presbyterian Church, Quigley's Point, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to ICU Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Frank Harkin, formerly of Maharamore and Craigtown Carndonagh, lately of Ballyargus, Redcastle. reposing at his partner Anne Murphy's residence at Ballyargus, Redcastle. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St Columba's Church, Drung, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by cremation at Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, at 4. The funeral can be viewed live on Church TV. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.